gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian extraordinaire John Fugelsang joins us live on all of hour number three today. Tune in for that. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway, up to 600 highway miles on a tank, it's the most efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Thank you, GM. All right, lots of big news breaking today. The president talking about the climate change yesterday.
We've made a good start. But I'm the first one to acknowledge that progress on this issue will not be easy.
All right. And, of course, the CIA, the breaking news on the CIA, Leon Panetta scandal, Representative Anna S. Schu, Democrat of California.
He informed us that there was an operation that was in place from 2001 until the day before he came to notify us.
All right. And, of course, the John Ensign scandal just gets worser and worser. A Nevada reporter and Doug Hampton, the aforementioned husband in the...
He paid severance to your wife out of his own pocket.
To my knowledge, that's correct.
How much?
That I don't know.
Well, you know. She's your wife. Was it more than $25,000?
Absolutely.
A lot more?
Yes.
It was a lot more than $25,000. He's got some serious issues because that was never disclosed. Do you understand that?
Yes, he was gifted, as they say. They were gifted.
Yes.
The Hamptons. Ah. All right. Curiouser. By the way, the big story yesterday that everyone remembers, the Russian woman that lifted 14 kilograms with her vagina.
Yes. Who can't do that?
I don't know. She, 14 kilograms, but our whole question is how much is that? So Bridget did the math. Math is hard, but 14 kilograms, about 30 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, good for her.
2.2 kilograms per pound.
Thank you, Jim. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Moore to me, Stephanie Miller, like Mark and Jeffrey did in Boston with a beaver stack.
Oh, really?
I don't believe Mark and Jeff have ever chimed in with a beaver stack from Boston. The headline is Busy Beavers Adding to Soppiness of the Season.
No one wants a soppy beaver.
No. Conservation-minded officials in the suburbs west of Boston say they don't like to make enemies of beaver that have moved into the neighborhood, but the newcomers are making for an even more waterlogged spring and summer. Soppy. It's soppy beaver.
Oh, boy.
Residents and officials are having to deal more and more with beaver and the problems that they pose. As the creatures' numbers and range have expanded. If a human did what a beaver did, that human would be in jail, said Paul McNulty, the public health director for Westboro. They're nice and cute and all, but they cause a lot of damage.
Yeah. Beavers do cause a lot of damage. I will give them that.
Speaking as a divorced guy.
although Jim is happily remarried, so yes. He has a whole different take on it now.
That's right. Beavers are your friends.
Yes. The beaver build their lodges, creating attractive mating spots, and when there's three, four, or five of them in there.
A whole lodge filled with
nice
beaver?
One. Yes. Sometimes lots.
Nice beaver.
Wow.
Thank
Sounds
you.
Like,
I just had it stuffed.
Yes.
Stuffed with five of them.
Here, the Playboy Mansion has a lot of beaver.
Yeah. Yeah.
The town has had to set up a separate line item in the budget for beaver control.
Oh. Why does everybody want to control beaver?
I don't know.
For job betters. All the... Against that, it's wasteful spending. It shouldn't be on top of our list.
Republicans clearly they need a beaver control program between Sanford and Ensign. but that ought to be a line item, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. Beaver, Jim, is a Massachusetts comeback story. According to state agents, after all but vanishing entirely from the state in the 1700s.
Because of gay marriage.
That's right.
Well, that was before gay marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mike Callahan, owner of Beaver Solutions in Southampton.
Ah,
he solves
Beaver Solutions.
Yes, he has a solution for your beaver problem. Says beaver business in the Boston suburbs is on the rise.
Did you used to work for Massengill?
Mm-hmm. The interaction of people and beaver doesn't always end badly for the beaver, however, according to Mike. In one instance, Hansen said humans and their beaver neighbors have so far avoided a pitched battle of flooding and reprisal. That's what the guy from the Beaver Solution says.
So beaver has moved from the city center out to the suburbs.
Yeah, suburban beaver.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Suburban beaver of New Jersey.
Mm. So Senator Roland Burris has decided not to run for President Obama's former seat that he was appointed to under a cloud of controversy, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Oh, darn it. There was a promising political career gone awry.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
There's a developing story. Senator Roland Burris has just announced that he is not going to seek re-election.
We're finished. We're done.
Roland Burris. He was appointed by disgraced and now impeached Governor Ron Blagojevich.
Game over, man.
Illinois Senator Roland Burris will not be seeking re-election next year.
Game over.
Well, not re-election exactly. He was never elected the first time.
I'd say he's finished.
Since the governor appointed Senator Burris, that might be an awkward trail of dirt.
Thank you, Shano. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go, kids.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. When asked by Tucker Carlson in an interview for Esquire magazine if he considered President Obama a socialist, former Governor Jeb Bush said, I don't know, define socialism for me.
Well, then it's easily defined.
But then, after calling Obama a collectivist, a common signal for socialist or communist, Bush said he believed the word socialism was a pejorative and didn't help the GOP make its case. Bush said further he didn't think Obama would have been elected had he, quote, been honest with Americans about his agenda.
Oh, come on.
Meaning his communistical, socialistical, collectivistical.
Well, he has a point there. He's turned out to be further to the right than
we had
made
hoped.
Out to be. Yes.
Exactly. We have a drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh, on this, I believe. Mm-hmm.
My friends, this is Rush Limbaugh with talent on loan from God, a brain deep-fried in hillbilly heroin, and a permanent stiffy from off-market Viagra. The debate continues to rage as to whether or not Barack Hussein Obama is that most dreaded of evil creatures, a socialist. There's been a lot of wishy-washiness coming from certain spokespeople in the Republican Party as to the depths of the perfidy of this so-called president is capable from reaching. The default position seems to be that he can be called a collectivist, as if you were guilty of nothing worse than passing the plate in church. In his anti-American, Muslim-Christian black militant front congregation that exists only to oppress the white man and turn back 200 or more years of the rightful hegemony of the Caucasian race on this continent, church. That was a long sentence. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking of the fact that President Osama is something much more subversive, perverted, and treasonous than a mere socialist. You've got it. You know where I'm going with this. The man is a dyed-in-the-woolly-hair melaninist. He is the proud possessor of the perfidious pigment that brands him as a genuine, unreconstructed, treacherous, scheming Negro, my friend. I ask you, where is the Republican leadership on this? Have they forgotten the proud legacy of Pat Buchanan, Chief Justice Rehnquist, Jesse Helms, and Strom Thurmond? Has the Southern strategy seceded? Oh, my friends, if only Ronald Reagan were alive today, he would smite the unholy Hottentot with his strong right arm and send him off to chicken and waffle heaven in the trunk of his welfare Cadillac, my friends. Oh. Those were the days. We shall not see their like again.
Boy.
Yeah.
And finally, have I mentioned, you have my Russian music, have I mentioned the story about the Russian woman that lifted a 14-kilogram ball with her vagina and saw
several times.
It was a glass ball.
Thank you.
Mm. That she picked up off her coffee table or something like that, wasn't it?
I don't know. She has set a new world record in the competitive world of vagina lifting. Tatiana Kosyshevnikova of Novosibirsk. Mm-hmm. Age 42, has been in training for 15 years and finally won the bragging rights after lifting a 14-kilogram glass ball. For some reason, the Queen of England has a comment on this. I don't know why.
It has come to our attention that for the 2012 Summer Olympic Games in London, a new medal event will be added to the list. We speak, of course, of the most exciting sport of female genital weightlifting. We've insisted that we be taken on as coach for the British team. Not only do we fear the prowess of the Ukrainian star, Labia Vaginova, but also that feared American contender, Kitty Klitschowski, who trained under Denny Hastert.
Oh.
Never mind. He of the Kielbasa method of cervical strengthening. We ourselves were a pioneer in this activity, being, as you may already know, quite ready to use our feminine accoutrement in the service of our realm. And having the fate of our blessed island depending on our skills, we were constrained to explore strength and flexibility using our wits and what was to hand. Much like the farm lad of fable who lifted a calf every day until it became a cow, and by keeping pace was able to lift that cow, we began by lifting one corgi pup, then two, then three, using a hamster for a grip, until we could dangle the entire grown litter from the imperial vajayjay, with not the least anxiety about slippage. We would practice riding to hounds with the entire pack being controlled by a leash held by our nether regions. Oh, yes, when the games arrive, we shall have examples of indomitable British womanhood who shall absolutely dominate the clean and jerk.
Oh.
We shall add an exotic technique that was the runaway favorite amongst our intimates. When our girls show their stuff in the overhead snatch, we expect
to all
be mightily amused.
Queen, I mean, it's weightlifting terminology.
That's all for...
Yeah, we're not going to have our FCC license for very long.
What? All right. Weightlifting. They talk about it during the Olympics.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
They do.
Okay. And if you'd like more Jim Ward, Fault Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True.
There is an X-rated version of the Queen on there, isn't
there?
Yes,
there is. So, that's
that was
not
the clean
the
version?
That was the clean version.
That's the clean version.
With the...
It's
clean and snatch and all.
It's very,
that.
Very nasty. So, not for the kiddies.
Oh, dear.
Yes. But not on the album. The album is clean.
And oddly, Jim Ward wildly popular at the kids' birthday parties.
Demonstrate the clean and jerk.
Yes.
You should see what he can build with balloon animals. All right.
Oh, dear.
What's,
What's the bargain?
So, CIA director, Leon Panetta, has ordered an internal inquiry into the agency's handling of a contentious and still highly classified program that has caused heated dispute between the CIA and Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee. Suffice it to say, it looks like Nancy Pelosi was correct.
Yes.
I'm sure there'll be a...
Oh, sure. Any day now.
Points. Representative Pelosi.
I've seen the letters from the members, and obviously they have concern. The Intelligence Committee has the oversight responsibility for intelligence in the House and the equivalent committee in the Senate. I'm sure they will be pursuing this in their regular committee process, and that's the way that it'll go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So, much more on this developing story, as Tom Brokaw would say. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the CIA scandal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, what is your doom and gloom prediction for today? We're about to have a major earthquake, you think,
California. There have been some unusual and ominous rumblings along the San Andreas Fault. And I just noticed some cloud formations that look very similar to the ones that appeared in the sky just before the huge quake in China. Was it about a year ago?
Oliver, my new puppy, was very restless last night. He was itching. Could be fleas. Okay, or a major earthquake, either one.
But, you know, it sounds like science fiction, but we and China have been working with using natural disasters, weather and earthquakes, as weapons. And maybe this is retaliation for something we did to China. We'll see.
Oh, dear.
Just get your earthquake supplies together.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I have a big jug of water lines in the back of my kitchen cabinet. I've been there for 4 years.
Yeah, so I always raid my earthquake supply thing, and then I'm like, what was I supposed to have in there?
It's probably undrinkable now.
I'm prepared now.
It ends up being, I don't know, like a Tums and a snossage for the dog, and that's it. That's all that's left in the bag.
All right. Representative Nancy Pelosi on the... so how many... I forget. How many congresspeople is it that...
was it seven?
Yeah.
I think seven Democrats on the Senate or in the House Intelligence Committee, I believe
right,
it was.
Right. Wrote saying essentially the same thing Nancy Pelosi did, and that is that the CIA misled them on torture. And in at least one case, out and out lied. Nancy Pelosi.
The fact is that there is a briefing that is a serious concern to members of the committee, and they have their course of action to deal with it.
So what's the right wing story that, this is just some elaborate political cover-up for Nancy Pelosi?
Something like that.
Yeah. That all these other congresspeople are going on record as saying essentially the same thing, which other people have already corroborated.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Representative Celestri Reyes, Democrat of Texas.
Our national security is about the most serious thing that we deal with here on Capitol Hill. At least I think so. And it shouldn't be politicized.
Uh-huh. And now here is the boner to politicize it. Mm-hmm. Representative John Boner of Ohio.
I do not believe that the CIA lied to Congress. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for Speaker Pelosi to either put up the facts or... retract her statement and apologize.
And you know damn well she can't talk about them in public, you twit.
Yes, exactly. All right.
classified briefing.
Yeah, Olbermann had a great point last night. He said, why is the party that doesn't trust the government on anything suddenly putting all of its faith in the CIA?
Exactly.
Yeah, which Peter is a government institution.
Exactly.
Peter in San Francisco. Hi, Pete.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, Roland Burris said now that he's announced he's a lame duck, according to Caribou Barbie, he should go ahead and non-quit his term.
Yeah, it's quitting time.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's non-quitting time because he's got a higher calling.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Representative Pete Hoekstra, Republican of Michigan.
I heard about a concept and a plan and some preparation on a program. A program that was never implemented. So basically, we were briefed on a program that never happened.
What's he talking about? Waterboarding specifically?
I don't know. He won't tell us.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, well, it did happen. Okay, Pete Hoekstra again.
Leon is disputing both the description of the characterization of what he told the committee on June 24th.
Well, I guess we'll see, won't we? That's why he just ordered an internal investigation. Mm-hmm. Representative Gerald Issa, Republican of California.
What the disclosure by Director Panetta was that a program begun in 01 and not previously being briefed and now terminated was being briefed to the committee. Now, if you look at that carefully, there's no lie and there's no cover-up. It wasn't briefed.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're all talking in circles because they all know that Pelosi can't reveal what was talked about.
Yeah.
Because it's classified.
Yeah.
And if she did reveal it, they'd say, treason!
Yeah.
Traitor! Burner! She's a witch!
Exactly. All right. Back with more on this developing CIA story as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But when I saw the movie, it looked like
Stephanie Miller
not only didn't have breakfast at Tiffany's, she hadn't eaten anything in a year. Ooh, I'm such a bitch.
What is that from?
Family Guy,
of course.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the potty. All right. Talking about the CIA story. So Leon Panetta has ordered an internal investigation.
Yes.
It looks to me like Nancy Pelosi was telling the truth about being lied to about torture by the CIA. Alex Castellanos on the situation.
The charge here, really, if you read clearly what is written, is that the CIA concealed actions from Congress and therefore misled and deceived. Well, it's the CIA's job to conceal what they're doing. Congress, we don't have 435 mini-presidents. It's the president's job. It's not Congress to know details of everything that's going on.
But
so, again, I think what the politically, it's a huge mistake for Pelosi. She was a fairly unknown House Speaker until she got tangled in this mess a few months ago and then became one of the most unpopular Democrats in the country by saying that, look, the people who defend our country on the front lines in the intelligence community, especially in a world full of terror, why those people routinely deceive the government, the people of the United States. Bad political mistake. And now, of course, the pressure is on President Obama. It's his CIA. Does he think the CIA routinely misleads?
Wow.
No, they were ordered to mislead, to lie, by the Bush White House, who ordered the illegal torture.
Right.
It's not that Congress's job to know everything. Especially
that.
If the president ordered something illegal. They don't need to know that.
Everything Castellanos says is propaganda. It's carefully crafted psyops.
It's what he does.
It's exactly what he does.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the thing. It's amazing that there still is debate over this. We know the Bush administration ordered torture. We know torture is illegal. That's the thing. It's like, she's criticizing the fine people. No, we're talking about who ordered the CIA to do that and who ordered them to mislead or lie to Congress.
And the president can do that. Or the White House, Cheney included.
Yeah, well, he was the president, really.
And don't you love how he says, it's the Obama, it's his CIA. It's like, no, what we're talking about is the Bush administration ordering.
Again, something that happened during the last administration.
Yes. Right.
And they try to pin everything bad that Obama inherited.
Yeah, it just happened now. Stephen Hayes on the
Burper.
Nancy Pelosi has accused the CIA of lying. She has never provided evidence that they in fact did lie, and House Republicans have requested the evidence that they have looked at. Several House Republicans went over to the CIA. They looked at the things that Nancy Pelosi was briefed on in these briefings in question. And among these things, I'm told, are slideshows or PowerPoint presentations that lay out exactly what she was briefed on. Why would Leon Panetta, what's his incentive now not to release those and to show that in fact, the CIA doesn't lie as a matter of policy.
Awful lot of speculation in that.
Yeah,
that sentence there.
Where are you starting that?
Well, I've heard that. I'm told that it could be that possibly some people have heard that.
Yes.
Look, it's a classified briefing. She can't talk about it.
Thank you. All right, on to other scandals. What do you call it? It was Senator, what's his name, Ensign?
Yes.
Who's been stripped down to fuck Seaman third class. Seaman, now I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, this just gets curiouser and curiouser, this story. So Senator Tom Coburn, his buddy, his pal, Republican of Oklahoma, issued a blistering attack on Doug Hampton, the husband of Senator Ensign's mistress. Try to connect the dots here.
Wow.
Saying that he provided false information about paying off Hampton after Ensign revealed he was having an affair with his wife. John Ensign hasn't put me in a tough position at all, Coburn said. The person that's now deceiving is Doug. Mm-hmm. Hampton.
It's not me, it's him.
Mm-hmm. It's me.
What?
Yeah. Hampton said that Coburn and other peers were involved in talks to urge Ensign to pay Hampton for the damage he caused his family, including potentially giving him, quote-unquote, millions of dollars. This was at the request of Tom Coburn and some people to try and help them manage John, Hampton said, about the payments.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is...
Family values is what this is.
This is spectacular. It's epic. This is epic.
Adultery and embezzlement.
Yes, it's epic fail.
On Thursday, I love this, Coburn declined to go into detail about his conversations with Ensign. He said, I'm not going to go into that. That's privileged communications. I'm never going to talk about that with anybody. I never will. Not to a court of law, not to an ethics committee, not to anybody. Because that's a privileged communication that I will never reveal to anybody. This doesn't seem at all suspicious to you, does it? He suggested, get this, his position as a physician and an ordained deacon could keep the information privileged. Yeah, well, he's not John Ensign's doctor.
Right.
Or priest.
Thank you. Oh, because he's a deacon, so that's pro. Okay.
Oh, my
All
God.
Right. Yeah, okay, good.
So. Oh, my God.
So he's basically quoting the Yardbirds.
Yeah. I'm not talking. That's what I got
he's
to say.
He's claiming executive privilege.
So when is Ensign going to step down? This is really inexcusable.
Yeah, I know. Bernice in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bernice.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Listen, I don't think they're only talking about the torture. I think what they're talking about, because I was listening to MSNBC, they're talking also about the assassination program that Cheney made.
Oh, Dick Cheney's hit squads, yeah.
Yes, the hit squads. And so I think that may be the thing that's being discussed by Panetta. So
wow.
Just to let you know.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Wow.
Oh, that Dick. Cheney.
Yeah.
Just another episode. All right.
I got it right the first time.
Exactly. All right. So the oh dear God, the Caribou Barbie story just it will not die. Sean Hannity, our buddy, our pal, still defending his...
For the love of God, will he stop this? Yeah.
You know, Barack Obama also was running, and he was getting a paycheck as senator for the entire time he was running for president.
So
Rahm Emanuel promised the people in his district he's going to stay there. He bailed out. Sebelius, she bailed out. Napolitano, she bailed out. We don't even discuss it. Mm. There always seems to be this double standard as it relates to Governor Palin, doesn't there?
Come on.
That is the worst argument I've ever heard. What do you mean bailed out?
Either to take another job.
And everyone that's ever been named to any cabinet in this country.
Quit their previous job to take the new job. Idiot.
Sarah Palin, when she quits her job, will be severely unemployed. She is not going to be able to provide for her family.
And she sure as hell isn't going to be president. So is Sean Hannity
You know what? I don't even need to bother to do the research to talk about all the Republicans that have clearly bailed out of their job to take a cabinet position.
Is Sean really that dumb, or is he just lying?
Yes, he really is dumb.
He can read a teleprompter like nobody's business, though.
He keeps repeating that crap night after night after night.
That addition.
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogies.
Yes, and he keeps repeating it in hopes that his stupid viewers will buy it.
Well, I'm sure because he's on the Fair and Balanced Network, he mentions that John McCain also drew a Senate paycheck while he was...
Shh, shut up. Don't talk about that. Look over there. Dude, commies.
So, Sex on Skates says he knows why Caribou Barbie quit.
That would be Levi Johnston.
The former fiancé, the baby daddy.
Yes.
Of her daughter's 18-year-old daughter's child. He knows why the Alaska governor is resigning. He concerns over money. He says he lived with the Palin family from early December to the second week in January. He claims he heard the governor several times say how nice it would be to take advantage of lucrative deals that were being offered, including a reality show and a book.
Oh.
What? I thought it was for the troops in Alaska and the... country and
you know what though?
Something.
I would pay cash money to see a Palin reality show.
Aren't we already watching it? Haven't we been watching it?
That's what you quit for. That's what you quit for. They're working on a Palin reality show.
Oh my God.
He said, I think the big deal was the
brilliant
book. That was millions of dollars. Palin family spokesman says it's interesting to learn that Levi is working on a piece of fiction while honing his acting skills.
Snark.
As it turns out, Chris, load the liar cannon.
Okay.
It's hard to tell from that gobbledygook of a press conference she gave.
Yes.
But it turns out the key reason she gave for quitting may be a big
really?
Liar. You're a bald-faced liar. A f***ing liar.
What's it like to be a liar, huh? You like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
All right. A little rudimentary fact-checking will show you why the main reason she gave is... probably less than true.
Really?
I'm going to gather that and then bring that back to ya after the commercial break.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to ya.
42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Chicago. I'm Caribou Barbie. Oh. Hi, Jeff. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Girl, you sound even better on the telephone than you do on the radio.
My.
There is so much I'd like to talk to you about, but unfortunately I can't talk to you about it on the air.
Okay, now.
So I'm going to have to talk to your conspiracy guy. I got a good one for you.
Oh, yeah?
Jeff, it's for you. Go ahead.
John McCain deliberately picked Sarah Palin, whatever her name is.
Paris Hilton. You're close.
Close enough.
As payback to the GOP for George Bush's sink in his primary, and by the time he picked her as VP, Rush Limbaugh and all the heavy party guys were slinging mud at him. So he deliberately chose somebody that he knew the Republican loyalists and hardcore people that were against him would take the bait, and they fooled themselves.
So the Navy guy is scuttling the Republican Party. That's an interesting idea.
I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of background, his dad being having a lot of experience in politics, him growing up in a political environment. I think, maybe if he had conceived of such an idea, I think he'd be the guy to pull it off.
It is, you're right. It is fairly hilarious. He must be laughing his ass off that this is the front runner now.
Yeah.
Although, for president of the United States.
That's funny.
Bush did a pretty good job of scuttling the entire country.
Yeah. I do sense that Grampy might have been laughing his ass off during the Katie Couric interview. He must have just been like...
All of them. You know,
yeah.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I read all of them.
Okay. Didn't you see that look on his face? Remember the first, didn't they do a town hall together? And remember that she was, I can't remember what her answers were, and you could just see the frozen look on his face. Just,
God.
What have I done?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Okay, did I mention that Sarah Palin...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Liars! Oh. Mm. You know who you are, and you know who you want. Mm. Ain't nobody gonna change that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, of all the gobbledygook reasons that you couldn't, it was hard to, you did need the Palin to English translation for whatever that press conference, whatever the reasons were that she was quitting, exactly.
There's an app for that.
Yes. Yes. iPhone has an app.
Palin to English.
But she asserted the main, I guess the last time at least, in the hip waiter interview. She asserted the reason for her departure was that her presence forced the state to shell out hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees to defend her from frivolous ethics complaints instead of devoting the much-needed resources to cops, teachers, and roads. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And troopers.
Yes, yes.
And the troops.
Right, you hate the troops if you're not for her quitting or... Mm-hmm.
Whatever!
Something.
Yes.
Yeah.
As it turns out, the money for Palin's lawyers would have been allocated anyway, and that lawyers would have been paid even if they hadn't been defending Palin.
Huh.
The $1.9 million had been allocated for state lawyers, part of which was used to defend the governor from lawsuits. The money would have gone to the lawyers no matter what they were doing. See, they were,
right.
No matter what they're working on, so it's not costing them extra that happens to be what they're working on.
So she's either a liar or an idiot. Possibly both.
Expert up there said, in other words, while these lawyers might have been free to do other legal work for the state, the ethics complaints have apparently not had the real-world impact that Palin had claimed, and they didn't drain any money away from cops, teachers, roads, and other things. Interesting. See, because they're on sort of a payroll, so paid to work no matter what it is.
If and you ain't the granddaddy of all liars...
Meanwhile, if Sarah Palin thought her decision to step down might end ethics accusations against her, she quickly found out she was wrong. Days after her resignation, a new ethics complaint was filed with state authorities, arguing she should not be able to claim per diem funds when she stays at her Wasilla, Alaska home instead of Anchorage or Juneau, where she has offices. The complaint says she's charging the state when she stays in Wasilla and commutes to her offices.
She should not be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it costs her nothing to live at home.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so there you go. Well, that showed her, didn't it? I quit, so there you go. Oh, darn it. Okay, in other, Republican Party news. GOPers' rationale for voting against the slave labor resolution, it wasn't a balanced depiction of history, is the headline.
Ah.
Oh, he's one of our very favorite right-wing tools. Representative Steve King, Republican of Iowa. You remember, Jim, he was the one, I think he offered a helpful suggestion during the immigration debate.
Yes.
That his electrified fence on his farm keeps animals
out. There
so
go.
That wouldn't work
it would keep the brown people out.
Animals,
put it up
Mexicans.
Along the border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
He was the lone dissenter on a House vote to acknowledge the role that slave labor had in constructing the U.S. Capitol. The resolution would merely authorize the placement of a marker inside the new Capitol Visitor Center to acknowledge the work of slaves.
Why would anybody vote against
that? Who you see built the Capitol.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Quarried the stone and built the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. King spun
the facts of a liberal bias, clearly.
King spun his vote as an effort to defend religion.
Huh?
What does that have to do with it?
I don't know, but I know a lot of people use the Bible to justify slavery.
There's a lot of slavery in the Bible.
He said in a statement that he opposed the slave labor resolution because it was put up for a vote before the depiction of In God We Trust could be considered in the visitor center. And then in a radio interview yesterday, he offered a new explanation for his vote, complaining that the slave labor resolution, quote, wasn't a balanced depiction of history, and that's why he voted against it. He said of the, well, wait, wait, we'll get to it.
Okay.
Okay. 645,000 Africans that were brought here to be put into slavery in the United States. He said there were over 600,000 people that gave their lives in the Civil War to put an end to slavery. I don't see a monument to that in the Congressional Visitor Center.
But
So that's why he didn't. But that's not a balanced depiction of history. Because
battlefields of the Civil War have nothing to do with the Capitol Visitors Center.
Thank you. Thank you. Good boy.
And half the country was fighting for slavery.
Right.
By the way.
Wow, he's an idiot. No, he's racist. He's a racist congressman. Mm. I have to. Yeah.
All right. So. Mm. Give me cut 14, by the way. You know, I knew this was going to be the big story on what the Fox all day yesterday is.
Barack Obama's honeymoon with the liberal media may still be going strong, but it appears that America's love affair with the 44th president is quickly coming to an end. And that is our headline tonight. Poll position. Now, brand new data is showing that Mr. Obama's approval rating is now in a free fall.
Free fall?
By free fall, he means that it's 61% according
down
to Gallup.
Down three points. Is that a free fall?
And it's not because he's too liberal. Mm-hmm. It's quite the opposite.
Obama's average for June, Jim, 1% lower than his previous low of 62%. So that would be the free fall, would be from the 62 there to the 61%. Kind of pretty much any rating. About 60 is considered pretty good. Okay.
Maybe when next time you hug Sean Hannity, you can whisper in his ear the definition of free fall.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't seem to know what that is.
Yeah.
That'd be the speed at which he hits the ground when you knee him.
Whether you agree with exactly everything the president's doing or the way he's trying to do it, he's looking at the big picture. He's over there trying to, reduce the world's nuclear arsenal, get something done on climate change.
What a communist!
Get health care reform and... Sean Hannity's talking about, this.
Michelle Obama's quickly becoming known for throwing a lot of money around when it comes to her attire. Now, the First Lady of Fashion was recently photographed volunteering at a food bank wearing a pair of $600 sneakers. And this week in Moscow, she was seen holding a purse that, according to the manufacturer, cost $6,000. And the White House says the bag only cost $900. Well, nice discount. I wonder if that came out of the stimulus. Who knows?
What a moron. No one complained about Nancy Reagan's accoutrement when she was there.
Didn't the president use stimulus money
to buy a purse.
His wife a purse? What?
At a discount.
You are an idiot.
My God. First of all, no, it didn't come out of the stimulus, you moron.
Who's dumber, Sean Hannity or his listeners?
No wonder Sean Hannity's ratings are in free fall.
Now, there's a correct usage of the term.
Maybe he was projecting.
Yes.
Tim and Madison, our good friend Sean. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Yes.
I would like to comment, with the whole thing with Sean Hannity. He seems to be talking about all these poll numbers with Obama, but not the poll numbers with, Senator Ensign. Who is...
Yeah, now that would be free fall, yes.
That would be a free fall, or, all the other Republicans that seem to be screwing, other people's wives, and how much they have to pay off these other wives to keep quiet.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a bigger story for Sean to cover.
By the way, has he covered the Ensign scandal at all?
Oh, God,
no.
No?
Sanford? No.
It didn't happen, apparently.
Apparently it doesn't happen in the Fox world. I just like the more and more these Republicans keep screwing around, and they all seem to be the very heavy evangelical senators. The more they screw around, the more it makes the gay case better, because it's like, here's your family values.
Yep, here's you.
How are we destroying safety and marriage when you're off screwing your mistresses?
Yep,
your...
there you go. Let's drink a big steamy cup of hypocrisy. Drink up. All right, Tinsel Talk is next. Alec Baldwin upset with my future husband, Jack Cafferty. We'll hear about that next in Tinsel Talk on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is me, Stephanie. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian John Fugelsang in all of hour number three, live in studio with us.
You just look like you were a dog that was startled up out of a nap. You were looking around. What, I'm on? What? Hi. Yeah. What? What?
I'm here. All right. Big news to get to today. The president talking about climate change at the G8. The president.
It is no small task for 17 leaders to bridge their differences on an issue like climate change.
Yeah, not a lot of progress just yet on that. Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the letter that seems to back up everything she has said thus far about being lied to by the CIA about torture.
I've seen the letters from the members, and obviously they have concern. The Intelligence Committee has the oversight responsibility for intelligence in the House and the equivalent committee in the Senate. I'm sure they will be pursuing this in their regular committee process, and that's the way that we'll go.
All right. We will bring you all the developing news on that story. In the meantime, John Ensign, Senator Ensign, things just keep getting worse and worse. It looks like he paid off the mistress and the husband.
It wasn't just he that paid it off.
His parents.
His parents paid it off.
His parents, apparently.
Mommy and Daddy.
Mommy and Daddy each made gifts.
Hmm.
To the campaign staffer he had an affair with and her husband and two of their children in the form of a check totaling $96,000.
And why was Clinton impeached again? There's no embezzlement involved, as far as I know.
That's a lovely parting gift. All right, yeah.
Nevada's senator has dropped a bombshell saying that his family wrote a check for $96,000 to his mistress.
Nevada.
Republican Senator John Ensign has admitted to an affair.
What happens like in Vegas?
Closeness, putting into situations.
You under my ball, I swear to God!
During a very difficult time in my marriage, which led to my inappropriate behavior.
The same Senator Ensign who demanded that President Clinton resign because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
Nobody's wasted the charm. Nobody but you, hypocrite.
Ensign revealed his parents paid that woman for what they called concern for the well-being of longtime family friends during a difficult time.
Jackpot!
So he ran to Mommy and Daddy to bail him out of his
Yeah, he did.
Like Thank you, Shana.
That is the college awesome. Freshman. The awesome part of the story.
Or like an ensign.
A gift.
I guess he's never making lieutenant junior grade.
It's a lovely parting adultery gift.
That's right.
Enjoy.
And hopefully it really is a parting gift.
Mm. All right. Hey, kids. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon. How about that highway? And up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles.
Huh. That's probably part of why GM is
out of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hooray for GM.
Because of advertising on
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
You saved the country.
Mm, thank you, Jim.
Once again.
Thank you.
And now the government owns 61% of GM.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, speaking of more infomercials, go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com, won't you? And you can find out where Mama will be.
It's a little hard to find, so you have to go to the show section of StephanieMiller.com, and there's a little submenu that says Calendar of Events.
Mm-hmm. For instance, Saturday, July 25th, in just a couple of weeks, I will be up in San Francisco for an event for our Green 960 station there, the fabulous Green 960.
You should wear some flowers in your hair.
I think I will. Girls' Night Out. With Mama. Come join Mama. And also in Seattle, Saturday, August 8th, for the big town hall that we have every year up there. Me, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan. Me and all my boys. All my liberal boys up in Seattle. Come join us.
Another great city.
Oh,
I love Seattle.
Yes, love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Can I have some love music, please? Anne in Boston, Jim. She just can't hold back. Sorry, I have to say this, but I have a feeling I'm speaking for a silent majority of listeners. Jim, what do you mean you got married? Not for the reason you think. Anna says, it's you and Steph, isn't it? I mean, it's always been you and Steph. The back and forth between the two of you is perfection. So quick, smart, funny, sexy, flirty. The connection you share is irresistible to listeners. And now you have annihilated our fantasy, crushed our spirits, trampled our hearts, rubbed our faces in flaming dog poo. Listening will never be the same. Anne in Boston. Now, actually, Jim and I we're very much like a married couple. I irritate him, and yet he still wants to do me.
You're like Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn.
Yes, except Cary Grant was that way.
And you most definitely are not.
It looks just like that fella. What's his name? Ralph Bellamy.
Of course, it was Ralph Bellamy.
Right.
His Girl Friday. Great movie.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I probably proved to Jim that he could be married, because this is a professional marriage, isn't it, Chris? Mm. I couldn't irritate him more, yet he still wants to me. It's hard to, you know.
Well, I'll have to push Hal Sparks out of the way.
Yeah, I think Hal Sparks would F you first before Jim Ward.
All right. Let's. Jim does grope me, though, regularly, well, sure. For free. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Help your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Thank you, honey.
But when Jim does it, you don't seem creeped out by it. When
he
Hal
does it,
does it.
They're really pity gropes
okay.
When Jim does it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
When Hal does it, you get all, like,
yes,
nervous.
My shoulders become earmuffs.
Yeah. Yes.
I know, because he's too cute.
Dirty Diana, no.
Someone made a comment on that picture of you sitting on Hal's lap.
Yes.
That's posted up on the whatever it
yes.
is. And it said, Steph couldn't look more uncomfortable.
He makes me nervous and girly and flushed. Okay, let's check some. I actually blush when he's here.
Yes, you do.
All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Heather Mills loves the freedom she's now enjoying since her divorce from Sir Paul McCartney.
Hmm, great.
She secured, as you know, almost a $40 million payout. Yeah, I would enjoy that sort of freedom, too. I'd be like, wee, all day long. She says her life has changed for the better since her high-profile split. When asked how she's feeling, Heather replied, I'm really having a great time. Totally. Great freedom. Earlier this year, she claims that she gets asked out all the time. Sir Paul, as you can imagine, had some thoughts on this.
So now that the Unidexter slag's made off with $40 million of me brass, me bran mash, me crust, she's making it clear how much more bum than brain she actually has. She's dead chuffed that a Unidexter slag jump up sconhead scut, big girl's blouse anytime any like herself, is getting the cup of tea and the blow-through everywhere she goes. Can she not see that a fly-blown Phyllis dead say to Jigger Jerk over the House of Commons in open session with a pile of splosh is going to be up and down like a prostitute's pants, even if she had a face like a baboon's arse with a ringworm? I'd like to see what the business girl would be about if she was skint, two copper shy of a latch lifter, had to make her bread as a tip scrabbler suffering from the poverty knock. Still, it's a good day, sunshine, when I don't have to wake up to Lady Muck from Muck Hall with a face like a bulldog chewing a wasp and as thick as two short planks. Let it be, you hard-faced bomb-pot barmy's old gat. And I'll say that with all due respect.
And finally, Alec Baldwin took a swipe at my future husband, crusty old CNN coup Jack Cafferty.
That's right.
Over comments he made yesterday on CNN in talking about actors running for office, Cafferty described Baldwin's credentials as questionable, but noted that Al Franken is Harvard educated. That prompted Baldwin to ask, so Franken fits the mold for Cafferty because he went to Harvard. I'd like to make a deal with Cafferty. Ooh, Jack. What? Oh, don't you anymore?
No.
Okay.
That's what I told you five minutes ago.
We have the audio. Good, thank God.
I'd like to make a deal with Cafferty. Jack, don't people that a career in performing arts disqualifies him from seeking elected office. And I won't say publicly that you're being convicted of leaving the scene of an accident in which you struck a cyclist and ran two red lights while you were pursued by the police and was subsequently ordered to serve 70 hours of community service back in May of 2003 disqualifies you from posing as a man of the people on a major cable news network. I furthermore will not mention that you put the Benzedrine in Mrs. Murphy's Ovaltine. Nor will I relay the news from Choctaw Ridge that you pushed Billy Joe McAllister off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And I certainly won't mention the incident in Reno, you know, where you shot a man just to watch him die. If I were Wolf Blitzer, I'd be watching you like a hawk. You never know what a creep like you might put in a man's breakfast of high cheese and drywall when he's not looking. I guess what I'm saying is, you have insulted me for the last time, okay? You don't have the brains or the decency. You made me feel like crap over and over and over again. I'm going to fly up there and straighten you out. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay? Love the show, by the way. No offense.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward gone wrong.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there is a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Buy the album, won't you?
Boy, howdy. A month after apologizing for off-color quips about Sarah Palin, David Letterman is showing he's not backing away from the subject matter. On his show Wednesday night, he pointed to the off-scene footage of her fishing trip in Alaska. And he says, "Is it just me or anyone else here having naughty thoughts about Sarah Palin and those waiters?" He said, "All right, I'll go ahead and apologize for that right now."
Yeah. Well, there he goes, raping the mother's mouth again.
Yep.
Every night, he's
been doing a string of Sarah Palin jokes.
Can I just say, I get, Jim, maybe you can explain it to me. Maybe it's just that men will, you know, anything, but she's attractive, but I don't get it. Just that voice alone.
Oh, well, as long as she doesn't talk.
Yeah, as long as she doesn't shove a sock in her mouth, it's fine.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
As long as there's a ball gag involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can, like, dub it Meryl Streep's voice or something. Or better yet, Molly Ivan's brain in that body. That would be something. But,
All right.
I mean, you know, she is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when she lets her hair down. She looks really good when she lets her hair down.
Oh, but like the hot winking librarian and that thing. The winking and that voice.
Yeah, you could do without the winking.
All right.
Wait till the sound guy and say these
and
things.
Gal. No. Seriously,
that on the telly that gets
that's how she
wrong.
Cuts the holes in the ice for ice fishing. I'm telling you, that voice is like a. All right.
Like a dentist drill.
Exactly. All right, Michael Jackson's memorial service could cost the financially strapped city here of Los Angeles $1.4 million. The city attorney says his office is investigating how the city can legally press third parties to pick up at least some of the tab. Yeah, I don't. I can't. Are you kidding? I can't pay for that. I can't even use water. I can't even pay for my water, for God's sakes. You're right. I got that notice in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That notice in the mail about I'm overusing water or something.
Yeah, way to go, Steph.
And then I get charged $1 billion a minute for every, you know,
how many gallons? How many gallons did you use?
I don't know.
It comes from her watering her polo field.
Oh, yes. Stop it.
The polo field and the Olympic-sized pool.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the water features.
I'm sure that's it. And the water slide.
You do have water features. You do have waterfalls on your estate.
And the topiary garden.
Stop trying to separate me from my public. All right. Detectives investigating the death of Michael Jackson are looking his prescription drug history, obviously, trying to talk to his numerous former doctors.
Yeah.
that's kind of a bad sign.
That's a lot of doctors. When your former doctors look like the cast of Gandhi, you know that something's gone awry.
Apparently, one of his doctors was encouraged with Michael Jackson because he was down to 10 Xanax a day, down from 30.
Wow. Hey, good for you. What? 30 Xanax?
30 Xanax
Holy
a day.
Crap.
Well, that's what one of his doctors said. So, you know, this is all alleged, but still.
Wow. Can you even be conscious on 30 Xanax? Wow.
So the coroner's report will determine the cause of death hinges on toxicology tests, obviously. Based on those, we'll have an idea what we're dealing with, said the police chief. Are we dealing with homicide? Are we dealing with accidental overdose? What are we dealing with? You know, somebody, who was it that saying the other day, Chris, that when they first heard that he had died, they thought suicide?
Yeah, someone said that.
So that's the thing. When you're on that many drugs, is it accidental? Is it not? Is it that's the
it's
whole?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, exactly. Or is it this whole we were saying this drug that really shouldn't be used without like an anesthesiologist there?
Yeah,
and a respirator and a whatever. So.
There's no way it should be used for home use.
Yeah. All right. The government's drug czar says Michael Jackson's death is a wake-up call to the nation about prescription drug abuse. He says more people are dying in the U.S. from drug overdoses than from gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which
I'm not saying something in this country.
Yeah, I'll say. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more the latest on Michael Jackson and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Thank God it's...
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she sees no reason for a House resolution in praise of Michael Jackson. Sheila Jackson Lee brought that.
Yeah.
She said he was a great performer, but she thinks the resolution is unnecessary. She said it would open up Jackson's life to contrary views that are not necessary at this time. And a lot of Republican grandstanding. Am I right? By like Tool that posted a YouTube video on the day of his funeral.
A Representative Peter King.
Mm-hmm. That guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Called him a pedophile and said some vaguely racist things about Michael Jackson.
Point of order. He was acquitted. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
So you can't call him a pedophile.
Not legally. You
right.
can't. Okay.
It's just like you can't call O.J. a murderer legally.
Okay. Well, that's...
What? Well...
Yeah.
Well, he was civilly he was. That one's a...
that one's a little...
Civilly he was. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All the oceans of blood there at the scene were... A little bit...
yeah, a little damning there.
Yeah.
Okay, CNN released a poll saying 47% of the people questioned would like to see Sonia Sotomayor confirmed, 40% opposed. The hearing start Monday, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yes. The CNN polling director said Republican opposition to Sotomayor's confirmation is at a higher level of opposition from the party out of power than any Supreme Court nominee has faced in the past two decades. Yeah,
for a moderate.
Exactly. That's she's not even.
Insane.
She's not liberal enough for me. And it's just, I mean, this is what, that's the problem. They're the party of no. That's all they have.
No, we're not.
They're just, yeah, you are.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, so because, again, like we were saying, this is not going to alter the balance on the court. They're being hysterical about it.
Right.
For no reason.
We're not being hysterical. Shut up.
Here's a damning headline. Sotomayor ruling's extraordinarily thorough.
Yeah, actually, the GOP is using that headline to say she's overstepped her bounds constantly. In her
by being too thorough
in her judicial career.
Yeah, I think she got the highest rating, didn't
yes.
she? From whatever.
Oh, we still don't know her views on abortion.
Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor's opinion shows support for the rights of criminal defendants and suspects, skepticism of corporations, and sympathy for plaintiffs alleging a discrimination analysis of her record by the Washington Post found. And she delivered those rulings with a level of detail considered unusual for an appellate judge. She could be possibly overqualified, apparently. and the problem is, all the conservatives on the court are the complete opposite of that. That's the whole point of having some balance on the Supreme Court. What's his name? Roberts, in fact, particularly mm-hmm. sympathetic to corporations. Sotomayor's votes came out liberals 59% of the time compared with 52% for the other judges. Ooh, she's a screaming communist. experts said the results show her ascension would probably not alter the balance of the high court closely divided between conservatives and liberals such as Souter. Yeah, a lot of people, Jim, like we were saying, we're hoping for a real liberal. You know, she appears to be pretty moderate from all accounts.
Yeah.
Al Franken met with her yesterday. Senator Al Franken.
Hooray!
I said Senator Al Franken. Bill O'Reilly. He said he wants to be the people's proxy. He's one of the only he's non-lawyers on the committee. And so he met with her yesterday. All right, back with more on Sonia Sotomayor and much more as we continue 28 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh,
Stephanie Miller.
You are the height of just too muchery.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. So the Sonia Sotomayor hearings start on Monday for the Supreme Court vacancy. Hey, guess what kind of, what is she, judicial activist, crazy communistical socialist she is, Jim? Guess who backs the her for Supreme Court? Ken Starr, the noted...
left-wing, bomb-throwing whack job, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily good news.
No, exactly. That's exactly my point. And by the way, one of the talking points you will hear on Monday is that she apparently has worked with a Puerto Rican group of some kind.
Namely because she is of Puerto Rican descent.
Mm-hmm. The Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Defense and education, legal.
She wants to educate Puerto Ricans.
And defend them legally.
She was on the board of that organization. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, the senior Republican on the judiciary, said the Puerto Rican defense group has taken extreme positions that his office branded the organization activist. The group is mainstream, and a lot of the material, by the way, that they keep, they're trying to unearth, it has nothing to do with her. The well-respected civil rights advocacy organization has cooperated in an extensive effort to review decades-old records, most of which have no connection to Judge Sotomayor, to provide even more information to the committee, Pat Leahy said last week. Sessions has been extraordinarily consistent in his disdain for civil rights and equal opportunity. I don't know very many prominent Latino or minority lawyers or judges who haven't been involved in civil rights sometimes in their lives, said somebody from the aforementioned Puerto Rican
whatever
legal defense. Communist Association of whatever. All right. So that's a lot of the folderol we'll be hearing next week when the hearings start.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So President Obama's administration is not discussing a second stimulus plan to jolt the economy. A White House budget official told Congress yesterday no one in the administration is talking about a second stimulus at this point. But the White House press secretary, speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One, suggested that could change if the country continues to lose jobs.
Right.
You see, Jim, apparently it's some sort of he will be adjusting to conditions, actually, that are occurring.
Conditions on the ground?
Yes, and then he will be called a flip-flopper should he decide that a second stimulus is necessary. Okay. This is a We Hate the Democrats 2 Day,
okay.
By the way. It's an
Why?
Official We Hate the... We just do. Because we've recently joined the We Hate Everybody party.
Okay.
Who's
we, Kemosabe?
I spy the royal we. I speak on behalf of
Stephanie Miller.
President Obama suffered a double-barreled setback in Congress when members of his own party moved to apply the brakes on his top legislative priorities, health care and climate change.
Yeah.
Obama has demanded urgent and simultaneous action to overhaul health care and address climate change, saying both were necessary to boost the U.S. economy, which is in a deep recession. Legislation to cut U.S. emissions of greenhouse gases suffered a delay in the Senate. The leading Senate committee responsible for developing the climate change legislation put off for at least a month work on the bill. The Senate delay came as senators continued to bicker over how to reduce industrial emissions of carbon dioxide without putting U.S. businesses and consumers at a disadvantage. Unfortunately, not getting a lot done on that. Al Gore, somewhere his head and his charts are exploding.
And his laser pointer.
Yes. The president said something I believe no U.S. president has ever said before at the G8.
We have the much larger carbon footprint per capita. And I know that in the past, the United States has sometimes fallen short of meeting our responsibilities. So let me be clear, those days are over.
I fully expected Sean Hannity.
We'll say that's part of the apology tour.
Exactly.
Blah, 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 blah.
But he didn't even bring it up last night, and I was kind of shocked. Huh. Yeah.
He's slipping.
Interesting.
The House of Representatives health care plan faced a possible delay after a group of fiscally conservative Democrats let it be known they were not happy with the cost and direction of the draft. The Blue Dog Democrats put their concerns in a letter released after Nancy Pelosi reaffirmed she intends to win House passage by Congress's August recess of a comprehensive health care bill. So, we've talked about this before, but it's just the power of these healthcare companies, the insurance companies.
Yeah.
It just makes you...
Money makes the world go round.
Thank you, Jim. Yes.
Wow. You singing show tunes now?
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid tried his best yesterday to soften some of the toughest talk of the day before on healthcare, though meeting with Republicans in hopes of showing bipartisanship on the issue isn't dead. I'm unclear why we're still hoping for bipartisanship when we've got
that
middle finger from Republicans on virtually every issue. Okay. But at least he said taxing health benefits to pay for an overhaul is still dead. Democratic leaders, yes, exactly.
But we are going to have to pay for it somehow.
Another thing that's increasingly doubt any hopes of getting it out of the Senate by August, even if Nancy Pelosi does get it out of the House, because they're still bickering over how to pay for it. Okay. By the way, I think it's most important. What does Dick Morris think?
Why would anybody ask Dick Morris what he thought?
He says Obama's health care plan is a catastrophe.
Why is it a catastrophe?
He doesn't really give a lot of detail.
Because it's done nothing to help me get my breath back.
Because getting prostitutes' toenails out of your mouth is not covered.
No.
They should get embedded too deeply.
In the soft palate.
He said Obama is taking the U.S. toward a health care system where, quote, health care is not delivered to anybody.
Uh-huh. You mean like they have in Sweden and Germany and Switzerland and France and Denmark.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Of course, I'm reading this story, Chris, off Newsmax, where it says, former White House advisor Morris is one of America's most astute political observers.
What?
Well, got the ass part right, anyway.
Newsmax is like the conservative well, I hate to say National Enquirer because they're right, you know, most of the time, but they're a tabloid.
John and Amherst. Jan and Amherst, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
And I would get that gratuitous nasally thing. Hey, first off, before
because Amherst is up the transit from Lackport, Mama's Lackport, hometown.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, Johnny Pontillo sends you his best. This is where the appropriate
the pizza, the Pontillo's pizza guy.
Well, he's more than a pizza guy, apparently, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
This is where the squeezy music should be playing. He does get
I listen, I disavow anything that John Pontillo said about my extracurricular activities in high school. Pontillo's
Did you get
pizzeria.
To second base with John
and Pontillo's
Pontillo?
Pizzeria in Lockport.
Well,
I don't think so.
I guess if we have a new definition of face, I guess that's what it is. Hey, listen, let me get to my point.
I'm almost certain that is incorrect, that I had anything to do with
you
John Pontillo.
You got to third base with John Pontillo.
I'll tell him you disavow any knowledge of his being. How's that?
I remember his being, and his pizza was very good, but I don't remember any other.
What else was very good, Stephanie?
Anything else about his sausage or pizza?
It was Aunt Mary's restaurant in Lockport. Now,
okay, now you're shaking the mud. Shaking the old. All right.
And Jenny DePiro was the girl who wrote that letter. I found out all this stuff. They apparently do know you.
That name rings a bell as well.
Oh, wow.
I sense a developing scandal in Lockport.
This is a very, very, very small town.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, that's it.
My point.
Sotomayor, listen, I'm just asking a question here. She's been overturned by the Supreme Court in her decision 60% of the time. Now, I don't care if it's...
Wait a minute.
Let me make my point, and then you can yell at me.
How many times has one of her cases gone to the Supreme Court? This once?
A lot of them. No. She's had quite a few because she's in a very big position. My goodness. Uh-huh. That's why she was elected, because she's in the federal court.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, she's in a district court, so what happened is 60% of the time she's overturned. Now, she rules 60%, 59% of the time liberal. I would just be very curious as to the number of times she's been overruled as to when she judged liberal. That's all I'm asking.
Wait. John, here's the thing. You see, the president is allowed to appoint whoever he wants. And she is replacing, actually, a justice that, in my opinion, is much more liberal than she is. So if she alters the balance at all, it's going to be to make it more moderate, the Supreme Court. So you should be happy.
Well, I don't really care about moderation. I just care about interpretation of the Constitution. That's all I care about.
I see.
If it's overturned 60% of the time, if in fact I had someone working for me that was wrong 60% of the time, I would have to kind of give him his walking papers, only because it really would cost me. So I'm just saying in terms of raw numbers.
But,
I'm curious.
Well, it doesn't mean the Supreme Court is right on everything. How does that work?
Well, you always say the law of the land whenever it suits your purpose, it's good. But let me
John, jurisprudence is not like owning a hardware store. There is going to be some disagreement. Jurisprudence is all about disagreement.
But in order to overturn a Supreme Court ruling, it has to be overturned by a Supreme Court, which is very, very rigorous. So, anyway,
it's a Supreme Court right now that's packed with right-wing tools, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So for you to say all their rulings are right, I would disagree.
Let me make a prediction, guys. He is not going to get anything he wants anymore. I predicted that once his popularity went below 50%, there was no way for him to retrieve it. Zero.
Uh-huh.
Because
he's at 60-something percent, John.
No. Listen, I'm just making a prediction that his popularity is going to continue.
So you're rooting for his failure. You're rooting for his numbers to go down so he can't get anything done.
Wait a minute. If I don't take it up the rear for Barack Obama, I'm not American.
Excuse me, sir. No one asked you to take anything up any orifice of yours. All I'm asking is that, you know, we should all be rooting for the president to succeed because we're all in this together.
Oh my God.
We know what the metaphor means. Oh, we are all in this together, but if I can't posit any kind of contrary opinion to what this guy's got going on.
All right.
I don't believe that spending money profligately is a good way to go. If $1 trillion is good, then why not make it 10?
But, John, Stephanie reserves the right to smack you down because it is her show.
Yes, and I think we've learned only one thing from this conversation, and that is John Pontillo's a liar.
Oh.
All right. Okay. Now the gauntlet has been thrown. All right.
Okay. I want to hear what sexual favors you gave to get pizza when you were in Lockport.
I don't recall.
When you were a poor college student. I mean, a high school student.
I don't recall ever giving it up for pizza, but I...
Stromboli, maybe. Or...
Ah, listen, that's good. 44 minutes after the hour.
A calzone here or there?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So to speak.
Let me regroup while I... comb my memory for some details.
Shake that Pontilla fruit loose from that tree.
We'll be back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Dean in Portland, Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, great. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks for your show. You think you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to just go off on the Democrats who are right now stalling the legislation that America voted for, you know, in November 2008. And I really worked on the front lines to help a lot of those, to help get elected the candidates who promised all of these fantastic changes and you know.
You talking about health care specifically, Dean, or?
Healthcare, the environment, I mean, these were the promises that they made, and the fact that we're seeing Democrats like Blanche Lincoln and Senator Landrieu and Ben Nelson capitulate to the right wing, I mean, I think that you guys are right on track by keeping the focus on these Democrats and keeping the excitement
well,
going.
Well, exactly, Dean. You know, people like you and I and people all over the country worked really hard, you know, to get real change. And like you said, like, if not now, when? Since when have we had a Democratic president, a Democratic majority? If we can't get this done now, you know, you're absolutely right.
And you know, the most recent thing we're hearing from the Senate is they're not willing to tax the rich. And we saw Blanche Lincoln support Senate Amendment 873, which, you know, basically pushed $440 billion in taxes in the estate tax, you know, from the richest 0.25% of 1% of Americans, almost the middle class.
And, Dean, look at how the Republicans marched in lockstep with George Bush and rammed through every disastrous plan that he had. And, you know, on our side, we've got good plans. I mean, single payer would have been a good plan. And you know, we don't even have keeping Democrats together to get something done can be just as frustrating.
Well, yeah, we are witnessing, if there is no precedent for the level of meddling that's going on right now with our Senate. I mean, we had recent polls showing that 73%, 76%, 83% of Americans support a national public health care option, a public plan option. And for the fact that they are and the House passed something right, the president is behind it. He got 350 electoral votes in the last election. It was a landslide. I think he won a vote in Nebraska, of all places. That hasn't gone Democrat in the last 44 years. And all of a sudden, they turn around and they're in the Senate. I just think they think that nobody is watching them as they capitulate and vote the wrong way on these things. And you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, honey. Well, you know, we got to do that, whether it's, you know, me or Ed Schultz or Rachel Maddow or Keith Olbermann. I mean, I think that is the difference is, you know, we hold people in our own party to account, I think, for our ideals. That's the difference. Fox News defended anything George Bush did, anything. I mean, Yep. All right. Oh, by the way, these are the Mama's sexual-related activities fun facts from high school.
Uh-huh.
You determined that you think I got to third grade, Chris, during the
third
commercial
base.
Break? Third base.
Pardon me. Third grade.
Third grade in high school. Yeah.
You were a little
slow.
You got to third base.
I don't
with the
have
pizza
any
guy.
Memory of what happened at Pontillo's Pizzeria specifically. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying, being a good Catholic girl.
Was there eating of calzones in some fashion? No, there was not.
There were rules in Catholic school during the 70s. There was no
all Catholic.
There was no nakedness of any kind. Uh-huh. It was
right.
All Catholic girls.
It would be the dry.
According to Frank
that,
Zappa,
and then it would be on clothes over clothes. That would be it. That was
right.
As far as I
but Catholic girls went down there.
Not
because
me,
that's
not
is not sex,
not in high
according
school,
to
not
the Pope.
Not Catholic high school in the 70s, I didn't, for God's sakes. All right.
But
that's all I remember. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Gina in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. I don't think that's third base. I think it's only second.
No, third base.
Gina,
is
third base, if there's no nakedness involved,
I think
what
it's
base?
First and ten.
Well, all I know is I went to a Catholic high school.
Yes, mm-hmm. Me too.
And... by the time, I think we're around the same age, and by the time we went, I don't know if there were first and second and third bases, were there?
Really? See, I contend if there was no, because there was no naked touching of any kind.
No, no,
there,
no.
It was over clothes,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
With bases.
There was no naked touching, or
yeah.
The girls ended up leaving school because they got pregnant.
Oh, well, then. That is a problem.
Well, that was
it was one or the other.
That was just a stork infestation. There was nothing untoward.
You were either a good
girl. Well, and also, I was a good enough girl, Gina, that it was you had to sort of pretend that it didn't really happen.
Right,
you know, it was that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It was like, you know, brushing, you know, he would just brush his hand to the back of the seat, like, in the car, and
all they do is talk about things,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They had to stay macho, so they really went further than they did, right?
You know, Gina called with a point, Stephanie.
I'm sorry, Gina. What are you saying?
I know, but you know
she knows what I'm talking about. The arm goes around you in the movies, and then it's like, oh, the hand just happens
that's
to cup a feel. Just
that
happens
is second
to cup
base.
A feel.
Well,
not...
we both went to Catholic high schools, and then we both went to USC together, so we have a lot to talk
there
about.
There you go. Okay.
Well,
now, USC was a totally different story than altogether.
Wow, Jacob, wow, wow.
Yeah, but see, I was in engineering school, so.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Yeah. But I wanted to tell Jim congratulations.
Thank you.
And I was wondering when the two of you were going to follow suit, but that's beside the point.
Ah. Jim Ward is recently married, just last week.
Okay, two things. The first important thing was the man that was on the phone talking about the 60% that Sotomayor had been overturned.
Uh-huh.
You sleep with your dogs because you have no life, and I listen to NPR and you guys all the time because I have no life.
Okay, good.
And basically what they said was there were like five decisions altogether, and I think three of them were overturned.
Right,
so that's
what I said.
60%.
That's exactly what I said, is how many times did even her cases go to the Supreme
right.
Court, oh please.
Right, and Justice Alito, two of his cases went to the Supreme Court, and both of them were overturned.
Oh, so that'd be 100%.
Exactly.
Hey, we can do math. Thank you, Gina. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I know you've got a hair trigger on that disconnect button.
Sorry,
honey. Stuff.
Okay,
the other thing is, I just have to tell you guys and everyone out there, you know, the B word has really become my F word lately, and that would be bipartisanship.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
Yep.
I just have had it. So
yep.
I had to tell you that.
I hear
you.
All right. James in Albany, New York, says his wife went to high school with me. Oh, dear.
Oh,
this
boy.
Cannot end well for me. Hi, James.
Hi, Steph. We got the goods. Now, one quick question first. When you were there, when Kathy was there, the valedictorian was the highest graded man, and the salutatorian was the highest graded girl. In the school.
No, there was no. There's no gender. The valedictorian is just whoever's first, and salutatorian is whoever's second.
She was there because her sister was a year ahead of her and had the highest average for 4 years, but had to settle for being salutatorian. But and also to talk about keeping your clothes on, she had to get down on her knees for the nuns who would measure the length of their hems with a ruler.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
But she told me last week we were talking about after 40 years we're still talking about getting to third base. She's considers first base kissing.
Yes, first base is kissing.
And second base, well, I'm not
is copping a feel.
We're married for 40 years, so we've had a couple of grand slams, I guess.
All right, honey. Thank you.
Third base is touching down there, and fourth base is all the way.
Really?
Uh huh.
I'm not sure that's correct.
What's
we'll
an indirect
we'll take,
free kick?
We'll take some. You know what? I will take some calls on that with John Fugelsang, and
yes.
We'll maybe even do an in-studio demonstration. 57 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian John Fugelsang joins us in studio in just a moment. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Lots of big news going on. the CIA scandal continues.
Yeah.
Leon Panetta has ordered an internal inquiry into the agency's handling of a contentious and still highly classified program that has caused a dispute between the CIA and Democrats in the House. How many of them wrote?
I believe it was seven. There were all the Democrats on the Senate or the House Intelligence Committee.
Backing up Nancy Pelosi, saying the CIA lied to them and misled them. Representative Anna Eschew.
He informed us that there was an operation that was in place from 2001 until the day before he came to notify us.
And the Senator John Ensign scandal getting worser and worser. A Nevada reporter and Doug Hampton, the mistress's husband.
He paid severance to your wife out of his own pocket.
To my knowledge, that's correct.
How much?
That I don't know.
Well, you know. She's your wife. Was it more than $25,000?
Absolutely.
A lot more?
Yes.
It was a lot more than $25,000. He's got some serious issues because that was never disclosed. Do you understand that?
John Ensign's mommy and daddy apparently made a little gift of $96,000.
Isn't that neato?
Mistress and the husband and the flavin. Okay, hey kids, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the all-new Chevy Equinox. With an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon highway, boy howdy, at up to 600 highway miles on a tank, it's the most efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM Compact Crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Go to the calendar section, won't you?
Yes.
You can hit my infomercial music again if you'd like.
All right.
We'll be in San Francisco on July 25th for an event there for Green 960, our fabulous station there. You can find out details on tickets for that. And then Saturday.
I think I'll mosey up there for that one.
Saturday, August 8th, I will be at the 2009 Town Hall in Seattle with my fellow hosts, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan, coming out and see us in Seattle in August. Okay. Meanwhile,
you're going to be traveling.
Mm-hmm. Todd in Miami, who is the smartest boy in class this morning, some right-wing tool yesterday made an analogy on the public option, saying if a government grocery opened up across from your grocery, you wouldn't like that, would you? Because then your grocery would go out of business.
Whatever.
That was Alex Castellanos that said that. Huh.
Staff, if the private grocery would go out of business if there were a government grocery, how do you explain the private schools in existence now when we have public schools? Oh, why, that's quite a good point. That seems to...
It creates competition, which makes all the schools better.
Interesting. Okay, Senator Roland Burris has decided not to run for President Obama's old seat. Yeah, he appears to have been slightly tainted, Chris. A little bit of the...
A little bit of the taint?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Roland Burris.
There's a developing story. Senator Roland Burris has just announced that he is not going to seek re-election.
We're finished. We're done.
He was appointed by disgraced and now impeached Governor Ron Blagojevich.
Game over, man!
Illinois Senator Roland Burris will not be seeking re-election next year.
Game over!
Well, not re-election exactly. He was never elected the first time.
I'd say he's finished.
Since the governor appointed Senator Burris, that might be an awkward trail of dirt.
Thank you. They know. You know, it's Friday, and that means I feel fun at the door, Chris. What? No, the doorbell's not working. Why? Who is it?
It's a comedian, John Fugelsang.
Oh my gosh. Hi, John.
Where are my mooks at? There we go.
Don't bother ringing the bell now, John.
If you dated Stephanie Miller in high school, call now. My God, you Catholic girls are a fun factory.
It's kind of inconvenient to be on in my hometown of Buffalo, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like the Crucible. They're all calling up like, I saw Goody Miller with the devil. Woo!
All right, John, did you go to Catholic school? Because I know both of your parents were clergy.
Yes, I know. My mother was a sister, my father was a brother, and I'm not black. No, I did not go to Catholic school. No, I went to public school.
All right, so I don't know if there are different rules, but here are the fun facts, I think, for Catholic school. Chris, I'm not sure we're together on this, but first base is?
Is kissing.
Mm-hmm. Second base.
Is copping a feel.
Okay, but through clothes or under clothes?
Either way.
No. See,
yes.
I don't... No.
Computer says no.
No. There was no underclothes in the 70s in my Catholic high. Well, not with me, anyway.
Oh, no. I want to go back and brag to my friends again, then.
And what's third base? Oh, third base is down there.
Is a digital...
Oh, it's, okay. Yep. We don't need to know the whole. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And all the way is all the way.
I get it. I understand what that is.
Okay.
Well, at least
there's some dispute,
though,
John, as to whether it's, you know, overclothes or underclothes. I don't know if, you know, what rules you had in your high school.
We didn't have any rules in my high school. I grew up on Long Island. I just grew up with don't get any final net in your eyes. That was the only rule we had. Make sure the IROC smells nice after. That was my only rule.
All right. So we've had us a quite a week here in Los Angeles,
oh,
what with the Michael Jackson
goodness,
funeral and
it's
all.
Been crazy. Well, I mean, I was supposed to be here last week, and then I had to leave town on Sarah Palin Day, which is still crushing because I've wanted to talk with you about it ever
yes.
since.
Yeah.
It's amazing watching. I think now that she gave the announcement on a Friday,
yeah.
so it would give all the Fox bots 3 days to get their talking points straight
yes,
about how this
exactly.
is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. How this is not really it's not really quitting. It's leading.
Exactly. Well, in the last paragraph, she missed so many periods, I thought she was pregnant again.
Oh, no. Hey!
I do want to announce that I'm going to be moving back to New York for a while at the end of the month, but I'm still slated to be with you every Friday,
yes.
and that makes me a lame duck guest.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you quit?
So, yeah, I'm going to, about halfway through today, I'm going to quit, just because I'm so devoted to your show. That and I didn't write any jokes, but I do have some IOUs to hand out to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was stunning, wasn't it? And the press conference was more word salad than we've even heard previously, and yet there was no, you couldn't figure out what the reason actually was.
Well, they found someone to make George Bush look like Socrates, and I give them credit for that. But I heard she can see oblivion from her house. The whole thing was, after this woman went off on Letterman a couple weeks ago,
right.
as we all remember, and David Letterman apologized so many times for something he didn't even do, he's now legally Catholic, to trot her kids out again.
Yeah.
I mean, to trot her kids out again for this, and now the woman, the children, I haven't seen people misuse props like this since Gallagher 2. You know, she exploits those kids so much, Gary Glitter wants to lead tours to her house.
Well, somebody on CNN was like, what trip? Who made fun of Trig? What?
Who made fun
what?
Of Trig?
Yeah,
nobody made fun of Trig. But then we need more Trigs. That was, ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need lots more. And for her to say that she was in Kosovo visiting our wounded soldiers? Who's
yeah.
still wounded in Kosovo?
Yeah.
Can we get some penicillin over there? Can we get...
Someone tripped on a tree branch.
Isn't the stimulus supposed to take care of those 13-year-old flesh wounds?
How yeah. pathetic is that? I mean, as a comedian, John, her lawyer actually said that David Letterman's joke contributed... Her quitting.
He said it was rape. I mean, I don't expect nothing less. And this is a woman who, you know, makes rape victims pay for their own trauma kits.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you know how seriously she takes that. Don't forget, folks, the only thing Sarah Palin ever did for women was save Katie Couric's job.
Exactly. That's
Todd. I love seeing her supporting Bush policies with a recessionist married to a secessionist.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Is there going to be a Fox show, or what's she going to do, Steph?
What's his name? Levi Johnson says it's about money, that he lived in their house and that it was a lot of talk about being able to take the reality show and the book deal, and I don't know.
Levi Johnson's suddenly become a senior fellow at the Huffington Post,
yes.
too. I mean, this teabag is suddenly like the number one scholar that Ariana runs to for Palin commentary. What happened to my liberals? What happened?
Keith in Seattle on the Michael Jackson service this week in L.A. Hey, Keith.
Good morning, Mama and Mooks. This is the self-appointed patron truck driver, Stephanie Miller Show, because my air horn is bigger than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I think Los Angeles needs to get over and just pay the bill. I mean, how many hundreds of millions...
Easy for you to say. We're broke, for God's sakes.
How many hundreds of millions of dollars have they collected from the Jackson Estates and all the attendees that were there, all the big movie stars and multimillionaires? I mean, for God's sakes, they can give a little bit back after collecting all that.
Hmm. I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense, but all right. All I know is we're broke in California. We're broke in L.A. We're broke everywhere.
I'll tell you what. We'll pay for it if Michael Jackson will sell a few Beatles commercials for the state of California.
Yeah.
Can we get the estate to, like, cough up a couple of, you know.
Just get a couple songs back.
That would be a great song. Something from Magical Mystery Tour, you know. Just cough one or two up for the tour.
Something
board.
That you can hear a lot of Ringo on.
Yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Anything. what did you think of the whole Michael Jackson hoopla?
Well, it was really interesting because... in a way, Michael Jackson really succeeded, you know, to me. First off, it was celebrity funeral porn. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, in Iran, they use Twitter to document human rights abuses by an oppressive government. Here, we do funeral reviews.
And I really want to remind everyone that Michael Jackson's final gift to us was getting John and Kate plus 8 out of the headlines. So for that alone, that forgives anything he ever did. And let's he also made it okay for non-Italian men to grab their crotches in public, too. So
yes, he did.
There's that. I was in England 2 weeks before he died, and over there was all signs and hoopla everywhere for the big 50-show set he was going to have at the O2. And, I mean, anyone who's been following Michael Jackson knew that was never going to happen.
I know. Well, we said that on the show. Certainly not. I wasn't thinking that. But remember, we said that, Chris. Yeah. I said, I just get the feeling this is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, 10 years ago, he had a real comeback show planned at the Beacon Theater with a band playing behind him in a small venue. Marcel Marceau was going to mime with him. And he canceled that the day before, you know?
Yeah.
And I think touring with a small rock band would have been the best career resurgence Michael Jackson could have had. But over in England, they love Michael Jackson because to them, he's still really black. and, you know, I was raised as a kid to hate Michael Jackson. I grew up on Long Island in the heart of the Guido Belt, and you know how it is over there. It's a very simple kind of homophobia you're indoctrinated with. If you like boys more than girls, you're gay.
Right.
And if you'd rather hang out with girls instead of boys, you're gay.
Uh-huh.
And if you are not gay, but don't mind men who are gay, you're gay. So,
and don't get final knit in your eyes. That's pretty much what you learn on Long Island.
Pretty much. And so, I mean, we used to, you know, watch, whatever. But Morton Downey Jr. break into discussion groups. Like, that was high school for me. So, you know, with Michael, I was raised to really, like a lot of guys, put him down.
Right.
The Eddie Murphy sketches, etc.
Right.
And when I worked in another lifetime at VH1, I was a VJ, and when History, Hits and History came out, I was asked to host a special showing a new propaganda video Leni Riefenstahl did for Michael of a 400-foot statue being unveiled.
I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably on YouTube. It's a 400-foot Michael Jackson statue being unveiled in, like, Prague or someplace, and thousands of worshipful Caucasians fainting and being carried to paramedic vans.
Yeah.
And we were told that you had to use the phrase King of Pop twice in every paragraph in the read. And that's where I divorced myself from Michael Jackson.
Oh. Said,
you're dead to me. I'm done with you.
I think he was extremely talented, but I was a little... Chris, probably as the official atheist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh.
You're a little uncomfortable, too. There's a lot of sort of Christ-like illusions, wasn't... Wasn't there
see any of that.
Yeah, there was something. It came down like a cross when they brought his coffin out. There was in the service. I mean, it was very... religious.
I just thought it was gaudy. You know, that gold-plated coffin? I just thought it was gaudy.
Well, I thought it was a good taste move to take the golden calf off the top of it before they brought the casket out. But you know, like, then Michael, people kind of forgot about Michael. He's been despised for years. It's sort of like George Harrison's death in that, you know, I'm sad about it, but we lost him as an artist years ago. Nobody bought Blood on the Dance Floor. Nobody bought Invincible. Invincible was his most Vincible record.
Right, that was in 2001. That was his latest album.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm not an expert, but just even that rehearsal footage they showed, it looked pretty good.
It looked really good.
Yeah, it
looked exciting.
Look good.
I was like, you know.
And he looked very healthy, too. He did not look like he was down to 112 pounds in that footage.
Well, he had the right combination of meds in him at that point, I'm sure.
Well, and that's why the rumor is that maybe he was trying to avoid the concert tour and was mixing that day. I mean, you know, when I'll admit.
Well, he had said, I can't do this many shows. They had too many shows. I'm too thin. I can't do it. You know, so, yeah, I mean, who knows if it was a combination of, you know, stress. I know somebody, I was saying, a friend said he thinks it was suicide, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not proud to admit it, but when I first heard he was rushed to the hospital that day, my first thought was, wow, some guys will do anything to avoid British food. But, you know, I once got a job because I knew the punchlines to so many Michael Jackson jokes, and in a way, it's ironically come around, and now Michael got everything he ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to grow old. Everyone loves him again. And he's not going to have to do 50 days of British cuisine.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You know, the funeral was very, very moving, and I always get nervous when I see the Jackson family pushing a child towards a microphone.
I was reading a story today that Joe Jackson was actually discussing, like, the, you know, entertainment value of the two younger kids. Like, oh, Blanket can really dance, and then when it's like, oh, man.
Well, that's the real Elvis comparison here. Everyone talks about, you know, the incredible talent as a young person, couldn't handle the fame, the materialism, distorting their body so much, getting hooked on so many prescription drugs. The autopsies are very similar to look at what was in their stomachs.
Yeah.
I think the greatest similarity with Elvis is the impossible-to-please, emotionally abusive father figure that never approved of this child, no matter how much success they got.
Yeah. We reopened a debate here because I was saying I was feeling bad watching the service. We'll ask you when we get back whether you think he was guilty of the molestation. Oh, you do. Well,
I mean, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it when we get back. That was a tease. You weren't supposed to tell me what you thought. But,
but he didn't.
We'll
see,
get
he
more.
Was playing along with the tease.
I see. I
he's more
along,
of a professional
yeah.
than you than
We'll
you
absolutely
think he is.
Talk about that. A tease the tease.
21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. The politics of dancing are in this message on the
stars. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking about the Michael Jackson coverage this week with comedian John Fugelsang, our buddy, our pal, live in studio with us all hour.
I didn't feel sorry for Debbie Rowe until I heard the turkey baster did get a ticket to the funeral.
Oh, you know, John, that's not right somehow.
Debbie Rowe jokes aren't testing well with focus groups.
You know, we were saying that, you know, obviously the moment with his daughter, just you'd have to have no soul to not have found that heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But I was saying, I don't know whether it just humanized Michael Jackson, but Chris and I got talking about, you don't think that the molestation charges were true.
I don't think so.
What do you think? You say, yeah, you think they were.
You know what? He was acquitted on 15 counts.
Yeah.
Okay, all 15 counts thrown out. And the one person they did pay money off to is now 29 years old. And I'm looking forward very much to seeing if that young man comes forward with anything. At the time, that young man, and Erlafari Hutchison wrote about this on Huffington Post yesterday, but the young man at the time said that Michael Jackson didn't do anything. His parents did. So there really isn't
any
proof
about
it.
Yeah, was it about money?
No
yeah.
doubt he crossed the line. You know, and Elvis was also fond of going to bed with underage people platonically.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
yeah.
not forget.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think Michael Jackson, to quote Dennis Miller, I don't think he ever actually closed the deal.
Yeah, I don't think he did. It is inappropriate for an adult
Dennis
to sleep
Miller
with children.
Funny?
Well, yeah, but that's what made you feel bad, actually, as you're watching the coverage. You're like, you know, maybe this guy really was pilloried unfairly for years, you know? I mean,
it's a wonderful lesson we all get from this in terms of once he died, everyone was so much in shock, and even people who had been raised to not like Michael Jackson realized how much he really meant to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, people who had despised him, who had forgotten about him for years, no one bought Invincible, and suddenly we all realized how much you took this man for granted.
Yeah.
I don't think the press coverage was too much. Let's say the most interesting person in your family dropped dead suddenly at 50.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be devastated, and most of us know more about Michael Jackson than we do about our own aunts, uncles, and cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we just, by default, know so much about him, and it really was about America realizing our own mortality.
Yep.
Well, and that footage, you know, you're like, he really was one in a lifetime. I mean, he was brilliant. He was amazing, you know. So, I know, it really humanized him in a way I think he never has been before.
Well, we also lost Robert McNamara, but that was an acceptable loss.
Yes.
Right back with more with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's so pretty that if your hacky sack were my private parts, I'd let her do that to him.
What? Kick him around?
Wait. Yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joined live in the studio by the rascally John Fugelsang.
Oh, thank you, Steppers.
Oh.
John, that Michael Jackson joke was...
That was told off the air.
We won't do it again.
The McNamara joke was an acceptable one. We approve
yes,
of that.
Yes, we do approve indeed. Of that one.
All right. Ben in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Michael Jackson. Hello, Ben. Oops, Ben. It's Ben, and we lost him.
Oh, no, it's my favorite Michael Jackson song, too.
I don't think so. Okay.
It's my favorite Jackson tune is Ben.
Matt,
yes.
Matt in Indiana. Hello, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Love the show out here.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm just curious why there's not a whole lot of talk about Al Sharpton and how he wanted to bring race into this tragic death and made it about race and not Michael Jackson as an entertainer.
Well, I'll Matt, you do often ask the question, what is Al Sharpton doing?
Well,
what does he have to do with this?
He was one of the few who actually knew Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I guess.
But it really wasn't a black-white thing. It was just,
Of course it was. Of course it was. No,
well, it was a black-white thing in that he was black and then he was white.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't talk about Michael Jackson without bringing race into it.
Yeah, I think he did speak about how he did break through barriers, you know, certainly. I mean, just with his success alone. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Dennis in Seattle on Sharpton as well. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how are you going, guys?
Good, go ahead.
good. I was going to ask about Al Sharpton as well. I think it did have to do with race. I think he raced Jesse Jackson and got there first.
Yeah, he raced. Anyway. He made it first to the camera before Jesse Jackson. That's for right. Once.
My point about Al is I'm kind of confused about him. He sort of seems like one part Dr. King and two parts Don King to me.
Yeah. I mean, I like Al Sharpton. I've done panels with him and stuff. You know.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah. I like him a lot, but he still has some splaining to do about Tawana Brawley for those of us back in New York.
Yeah. Dick in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, is there any truth to the guys and gals? Guys,
okay.
Okay.
All right, Dick is...
Jim Ward's unborn twin calling in.
It was on the list first to adjust medication, then call Stephanie Miller. Right, yeah. Got that.
Outpatient caller day.
Ben in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. There you are. Hey, Ben.
Hey, sorry. So I was thinking, you know, I've been expecting some news about Michael Jackson's sudden death for over a decade now, and no matter what he died from, I'd believe it. Like,
well, that's the
matter.
Thing,
like,
Ben, is
he,
that...
He could have said, like, right. He could have been eaten alive by a pack of giraffes. And I'd be like, well, he should have been wearing that dress made out of leaves. I mean, you could have told me that his hyperbaric chamber explosively decompressed, like in that 007 movie, License to Kill.
Yeah.
And I would have believed it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is kind of the thing.
The Timothy Dalton Bond film reference.
Wow.
It was kind of strange, wasn't it, Ben? That you could, some people could say, oh, I was shocked. And then you're kind of going, really?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I can't wait to see the reality show of the Jacksons raising those children, because finally we get to see the black family adopting the cute white kids. Waited 25 years for that show.
Here's some breaking news out of Nevada. A Nevada man won a courtroom battle with the Nevada DMV over his hoe license plate. Oh, that's not a nice way for Senator Ensign to refer to his wife. Oh, that's not about that.
Do you know that the Ensign parents paid off $96,000, but they did it by having two $12,000 checks to the woman, her husband, and both children to make it legal?
Yes. So they're gifts. They're just
gifts to the children. Yes. I'm glad they're paying off kids the week Michael Jackson's buried.
Yes, it's
I saw it as an homage.
It was a lovely adultery parting gift, is what
Nevada's
it was.
Senator has dropped a bombshell saying that his family wrote a check for $96,000 to his mistress.
How lucky.
Nevada.
Republican Senator John Ensign has admitted to an affair.
What happens like in Vegas?
Closeness put me into situations.
You want my ball, I swear to God!
During a very difficult time in my marriage, which led to my inappropriate behavior.
The same Senator Ensign who demanded that President Clinton resign because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
Nobody's wasted the charm. Nobody but you, hypocrite.
Ensign revealed his parents paid that woman for what they called concern for the well-being of longtime family friends during a difficult time.
Jackpot!
This was three Republican scandals ago, and it just popped back up this week.
Know, yeah. Exactly.
Who've they got, Steph?
Don't you love, by the way, the whole every time there's an adultery of Republicans? It was a difficult time in my marriage. And I'm just guessing, as a woman, made difficult by the fact that you were someone else.
Exactly.
That's probably what made that difficult.
Oh, well, he's not a romantic like Sanford.
No.
That's my new sitcom, Sanford, an Illegitimate Argentinian Son. Who have the Republicans got? They've got Jeb Bush and Mittens. And they're like going tapping their toes in men's rooms looking for Larry Craig to come back at this point. It's really scary. And Charlie Crist, Charlie Crist is so gay, I came out to my parents.
The exceedingly neat and tan former bachelor governor of Florida.
He's a former bachelor. He loves his wife.
He loves her.
Oh.
Publicly.
And Mrs. Craig.
He can't. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what was I going to say? Yeah,
I love my wife.
Mm-hmm. 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 Indeed, you do. The health care debate, we were saying, first of all, not only are we getting complete zero votes from Republicans, but, you know, some Democrats.
Every politician who believes socialized health care is bad for America has a moral obligation to give up their own.
Yep.
Everyone,
yep.
Democrat and Republican. You mm-hmm. don't like it, then you give up yours right now.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly. No, exactly.
They work for us, and we forget this.
Yeah. Well, because that's what I don't get. You know, when you look at the polls, how did single payer get off the table that soon?
Democrats.
Yeah. I mean,
60
it's
vote
just,
majority, mm-hmm. and still.
Yeah,
it's just I feel like I'm Darwin studying invertebrates. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And again, there people have to remember that there's Democrats and there's liberals. They're not the same. Just like Republicans and conservatives are not the same. Fox News isn't conservative. It's pro-Republican. You can't be a conservative when you spend money like Amy Winehouse in Amsterdam. You know? And it's the same here. And it's up to good people out there to call their damn congressman. If you ever wanted to do it or thought about doing it, now's the time. Email makes it easy. Just flood these people.
Right, right. Because you know, that's what we were saying. If ever there's a time for a revolution, it's over health care in this country. I mean, it just, you know, you watch all these, you know, negotiations going on. I think it was Olympia Snow, Chris, yesterday that said, oh, we need to get the public option off the table.
And start over.
That's disgusting.
What?
Listen, yeah. And you tell your friend, it's socialism. Like Jesus, you know, Jesus never charged for health care either. But
yeah.
You got to tell your friends, name one country with socialized medicine, with national health care, that's given it up. That decided it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Name one country in history that dropped that system.
Yeah, we were packed with calls yesterday because apparently a lot of our listeners have actually been outside their house and outside their city and even know people in other countries. And so, you know, and so they're not buying, you know, the Sean Hannity line that it's so awful everywhere else. You know, how many stories did we hear, Chris? I mean, literally.
An hour and a half's worth.
Broke
yesterday.
My leg. The doctor came to my house at 10 at night in England and it cost me a dollar.
Yeah, the army is socialist. You know, we got to call these people on their lies. Howard Dean came out and said we're 47 years behind the rest of the world right now, and it's an embarrassment. America should have the best healthcare system. We should have the best public school system in the world.
Right, right. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, when you look at where we rank in the world, I mean, it's ridiculous, particularly what we spend on healthcare. I mean, you know, I wish I could remember there was a million great stories of actual people and or people that have actual relatives, and you know, one healthcare story after another. You know, that's the complete opposite of here.
We've been spending $4 billion a month since 2003 to keep Iraq American.
Yeah.
We could have given your great-grandkids health care for the rest of their life with that money.
Yeah. Don't you? I know. We can't afford health care. I mean, what more basic right do we have as Americans? And we're going, we can't afford that. Exactly.
Exactly.
We had to pay for the unnecessary war. We can't possibly afford it.
Well, and listen, they stopped being capitalists when they began rewarding failure. Okay?
Yeah.
And as Ralph Nader said, America will always have capitalism because it will always have socialism there to bail it out.
Yeah, yeah. 42 minutes after the hour. Back with more with comedian John Fuel saying
I'll be
live.
Less preaching next time.
We're taking his soapbox away.
Your parents were clergy, so, you know, you got the preaching.
Yeah, I get really passionate about the health care. It's disgusting, these Christians denying medicine to sick people.
We'll make them talk about fluffy things next on the Stephanie Miller
That's my
Show.
Other job.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, filling the huge gaping void in Taylor Dane music and talk radio today.
Long Island girl.
That's right.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian John Fugel saying live in studio with us. If you are here in Los Angeles, you can see John.
I'm doing stand-up tonight with a full rock band behind me at the Highlands Club at Hollywood and Highland. And
Very cool.
Be at the legendary Improv Olympic on Sunday.
Yahoo!
It's part of the Top Story political news show. That's a great sketch comedy show, by the way.
Wow. What does the rock band do while you're telling your jokes, John?
I'm actually performing with an albino rock band, believe it or not, because they make me look Haitian in comparison. and the band plays under me, and we do funny things.
Wow.
Yes, it's all very experimental and lots of fun.
Wow, how edgy.
Yes, it's edgy, but not in your face, so it's good.
Not scary edgy.
Yeah, I advertise this. If you want to learn details, go to my Facebook page or Twitter page. But get the right Fuglesang, because there's one Fuglesang on Twitter that's like a Copenhagen brothel, so make sure you get mine.
That's different.
Yours is John Fuglesang.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm just learning the Twitter. It's still new to me. Chris is teaching me how to do it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I've been referencing you a couple of times
this morning. I appreciate that. Don't get to... Twitter, as I understand it, is dominated by an actor who has 1 million followers but no access to spell check.
Ashton Kutcher.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we need a tool to make our grammar even worse these days. Like texting wasn't bad enough.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, I'm on all the anti-social networking sites. If you're staying at home alone so you can socialize, you can find me.
But you don't have, I mean, you can go on your iPhone and go on these social networks, so you don't even have to be at home.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
You know, John, it's a good week to tweet or whatever, because it's a big news week. Robert McNamara, as you know, passed away this week.
Yeah, I loved how all the obituaries said that McNamara died peacefully. You know, I've never read peaceful death and McNamara in the same sentence.
Yeah.
It's always
isn't ironic.
The old men who send young men off to die violently who get to die peacefully.
Yeah, in their sleep.
Isn't
right?
It ironic?
It really is. I really do think.
Don't you think?
It's Celebrity Death Month, and poor Ed McMahon. You know,
I know.
The week he goes, he becomes a third banana. It was very sad.
I know.
Oh,
very sad.
And Farrah Fawcett, come on.
Yeah, boy, Farrah.
She didn't even have 3 hours.
No, she should fire a publicist. She really should. It's all happening. And then we lost Sarah Palin in the same week. Glenn Beck was so upset he stopped crying.
Yes.
All right. Tears
won't come. The tears won't come.
But good. Ringo Starr turned 69 years old this week. There's some good celebrity news. The oldest Beatle turns 69 this week.
Wow.
And he's still touring and still great. So.
Wow.
There's
I didn't
Ringo.
Know that.
Mm-hmm.
I have some breaking sperm news for you, John Thugusang. Uh-huh.
Is this the fluffy stuff you promised before the break?
Yes.
All right.
It's actually Science Stack. It's so it's not that really that fluffy. But
breaking,
it is an ethical dilemma. Which
breaking
John
sperm news? It's an inside scoop of sperm news? Let's hear it.
He has speaks very eloquently on religion and ethics issues. So here's one for you.
Please
human
do.
Sperm created from stem cells in a world first, claims a British university. Researchers at a stem cell institute in England say they have made the breakthrough using stem cells from an embryo. They claim with some minor changes, sperm could theoretically fertilize an egg to create a child. Within 10 years, scientists say the technique could be used to allow infertile couples to have children that are genetically their own. It could even be possible to create sperm from female stem cells, they say,
mm-hmm.
which would ultimately mean a woman having a baby without a man.
Exactly.
Oh, sugar and spice. It ain't a man's world.
This is the first time human sperm has been created anywhere in the world in a laboratory.
Well, I think it's great. One more reason to not have a man around. I mean, it's not, you know, actually, if you ever want a man to give you sperm, just ask him. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it really isn't hard. Yeah.
But anything that makes men obsolete, I'm signing on for, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. For some reason, body image, that's only a female thing. Men, are you like, can I see your, they're like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Here and here it is. Here, could you take your organ out for me? I have another.
Which one? I have four.
Oh.
Now that's something that
hasn't. Let's do the one that's biggest and most shrill. Nice.
That's something that has only been created in a laboratory before.
Yes.
Man with four organs. The scientist chosen by President Obama to lead the National Institute of Health has a controversial history of mixing politics with faith. He believes the New Testament consists of first-hand accounts. Ruh-roh.
Mm.
Dr. Francis Collins.
Really?
He's a pioneer in human genome research. His history, though, of mixing God and science has left some on the left with a sour taste in their mouth. The New York Times notes many object to his very public embrace of religion. He was in Religious. Did you see Bill Maher's?
Yeah, I did.
He asserts the same level of evidence needed to assert a proof in science isn't necessary for Jesus and the resurrection and defends his faith using the New Testament as a basis, referring to it as first-hand accounts.
Well, you know, as I've always said for a long time, religion is the leading cause of atheism in this world.
You got that right.
There you have it again. Folks, you don't need a middleman. You can talk directly to God. I am a committed anti-religious believer, or CARB.
Yes.
And I don't think you need to have, your guru getting you there. And this is more proof of why religion is just destroying spirituality.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. God is too cool to join any of his own fan clubs, folks.
That's right.
Exactly. It'd be like Bobby Sherman, being in Teen Beat, like applying to his own.
Stephanie, can you make a reference from the past 40 years instead of going back
that
to Bobby Sherman?
That is my reference. That is from my age group, so there.
How about Jonas Brothers or something that the
whatever.
Kids would like?
Well, no, because the Jonas Brothers conjures up Satan, so, you know, it's the wrong reference. But
okay.
Oh. I was making a Gen X reference about myself. Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're so Gen X.
Could I have some Italian music, please? So you know the big G8 this week.
Who is Bobby Sherman?
Exactly.
Go on.
Nobody knows.
Are you kidding me? He was the dreamy singer in the 70s.
Go on with G8. That's
I had to choose between him and David Cassidy.
G8 was my favorite guy in Wu-Tang.
Ha!
John Fugelsang, you know very well that the president was trying to reduce the world's nuclear arsenal by a third. He was at the G8 trying to get something done on climate change. But all the media chatter was about Berlusconi and his sexy time. Apparently there were reports that he did an inadequate job of preparing for the G8 meeting because of his inordinate sexy time.
Yes. Whoever knew Italians were preoccupied with love. Thank you, media.
He allegedly invited the 17-year-old girl to his New Year's Eve party. His wife, who is pursuing a divorce, accused him of having frequented minors. A call girl claims to have spent election night with Berlusconi, and other women say they were paid to attend parties that he also attended.
Well, in France, he could run on that and win. God bless him.
Exactly. All right. Oh, I have a. You can take your organ back out. Look at all this religious news I have for John Fugel.
The church organ or the wedding organ or the funeral organ or the green onions?
The Pope is going to meet with President Obama, you know.
That's very exciting. Today.
Is it today?
It is today.
Italy. I believe it is. They think that they will have frank but constructive talks in areas of disagreement. The spokesman said, we know the Pope has been keenly aware of the president's outreach to the Muslim world. The Pope shares the president's view on reducing the number of nuclear weapons. On subjects such as abortion, even if we don't see eye to eye on everything, there are steps that can be taken on a number of issues that will show progress, whether it's on something like unintended pregnancy or adoption.
This Pope walks the walk in many ways. I mean, he's hardcore anti-death penalty. He's hardcore pro-poverty. He's had most of his really good gutsy stuff doesn't get picked up by the corporate media, but this Pope has done a lot. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because when they first made Ratzinger the Pope, it was a bit embarrassing for the Vatican because they had to throw out and void the first three votes the cardinals had. People don't know about this, but in the Vatican, for the first time ever, they used the Diebold touchscreen machines when they were voting, and somehow Bush was elected.
Really?
So, yeah,
that seems... Something might have gone awry there.
I think it's great that he's meeting with the Pope. I think that this Pope is has upset enough conservatives to make him interesting. I really do.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how the meeting goes today. All right. Meanwhile, have you heard that Netanyahu appears to be having a bit of a breakdown over in Israel?
He's getting a little odd.
More than usual.
More than usual.
It's like saying Glenn Beck's a little high strung.
Yeah, he's getting like way paranoid.
He appears to be suffering from confusion and paranoia, according to sources. He's convinced the media is after him. His aides are leaking information about him, and the American administration wants him out of office. 2 months after he visited Washington, he's finding it difficult to communicate normally with the White House. To appreciate the depth of his paranoia, it's enough to hear how he refers to Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod, Obama's senior aides, as self-hating Jews.
He didn't say that. His aides said that. Bibi didn't actually use that. One of his cabinet members said that. But yeah, I'm part of the camp that's rooting for.
If you're not for making Iran a parking lot, does that make you a self-hating Jew?
Rahm's brother works for Endeavor. He will destroy Netanyahu if he wants. I think they should just have Endeavor buy out Israel like they did.
Ari Emanuel.
William Morris.
Uh-huh.
I'm part of the fans of Israel who are rooting for Ariel Sharon to wake up. You know, let's not forget the rightfully elected prime minister is still in a coma, and then the warrior turned dove is still alive, and I'm part of the team that dreams he'll just wake up and take the reins and go over.
But that it's a rather startling job. But your contention is that Israel will be part of Endeavor eventually.
Well, Endeavor will take over everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
half
really
my
more
agents
like
had to move there.
That's more like a three-state solution then.
Well,
and what happens to William Morris?
I'm going to plant a tree in William Morris.
All right. John Fugelsang is a comedian extraordinaire. If you would like to hear about all things John Fugelsang,
Go to my Facebook page or Twitter page or watch my new VH1 Disgraced Governor reality dating series, Spitzer of Love.
Yeah!
That's a joke, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.